Disability Rights Oregon is a federally designated protection and advocacy system for Oregonians with disabilities. With me is DRO attorney Sarah Radcliffe, who recently released a report, Don't Look Around, a window into inhumane conditions for youth at NORCOR. Sarah, what is NORCOR?
So NORCOR is the Northern Oregon Regional Correctional Facility. It's a jail in the Dalles, and it's a partnership between four counties, so it's a regional jail. It has an adult side that houses about 100 adult inmates and a juvenile side that houses between 20 and 24 juvenile detainees.
So people in custody at NORCOR are from where?
So I'm just going to talk about the juvenile side. So on the juvenile side, they're the four counties that partner to create NORCOR, to run and administer NORCOR. But NORCOR has contracts with 17 Oregon counties and also with a few counties in Southwest Washington and with Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, and also from the Warm Springs Reservation. So there are really kids from all over who are held at NORCOR.
So what are the ages of the children held at NORCOR?
So generally, the kids are between 12 and 17 years old. With a special court order, kids younger than 12 can come to NORCOR. So in 2017, one 11-year-old has come through the NORCOR system.
And what are these children's crimes? Why are they locked in a jail?
So between a third and half of these kids are there for probation violations. So that's, you know, originally a minor crime, relatively minor crime. They got probation. And then a lot of them are there for technical probation violations. So that's not a new crime. It's something like failing to show up for community service or a behavioral health appointment, things like that. We reviewed numbers for the first 10 months of 2017, and 276 kids had come through NORCOR during that period. Only three were charged with Measure 11, so serious felony charges. And then there are some kids who, you know, we don't really know what their underlying crime was. So the way they categorize the data at NORCOR, you know, for example, kids from the Warm Springs Reservation, that's just listed as tribal housing. So I really don't know, stats on what those kids are, what their underlying offenses were. Same with ICE.
So over the past 2 years, Sarah, Disability Rights Oregon has been monitoring adult county jails, and your report states that the conditions for youth at NORCOR were harsher and more restrictive than any adult jail you had visited. What were the conditions you found for youth at NORCOR?
I went out to NORCOR to do a monitoring visit to the adult side and just thought, well, I'm out here. Let's have a look at the juvenile detention facility. And what I saw when I walked into that facility was kids as young as 12 years old who were locked in their cells with, you know, some kids, if they're on disciplinary status, were locked in their cells with nothing but the Bible. And they were spending really an untold number of hours or days locked down because NORCOR fails to document use of isolation. So what we saw were kids who were, you know, in their cells without access to phone calls, to visits, to reading or writing materials, drawing materials, and who are receiving meals, education, and exercise on a solitary basis. And as a point of comparison, on the adult side of NORCOR, most inmates are, you know, have almost unlimited out-of-cell time, so unlimited social contact with other people who are confined, access to almost unlimited phone calls and video visitation, reading materials, there's a TV on every unit, and they have access to commissary, which, you know, when you're confined for a long period of time, just having access to ramen noodles and things like that is actually a pretty big deal.
So, Sarah, your report says that the rules at NORCOR are harsh and purposeless for children. What are some of the NORCOR rules?
So the written rules at NORCOR prevent things such as looking around, looking out of a window, asking what time it is, raising your hand above your waist. So these are rules that there's no legitimate disciplinary purpose to prescribing these, that kind of normal human behavior. It's really inevitable human behavior.
Especially for children.
Especially for children. And these are rules that, you know, are not on par with what we've seen in adult facilities.
And what is the punishment for looking around or raising your hand or asking what time it is?
So kids got on disciplinary status for lots of different things. And what we were told by NORCOR administration is generally disciplinary status would be triggered by either a series of small violations or one big violation. But we found kids whose disciplinary status was triggered by things like failing to count out loud during exercise, sharing food, things like falling asleep during the day, or using a piece of tissue as a bookmark, since that wasn't its intended purpose. And the disciplinary status, we've described it basically as solitary confinement, because on disciplinary status, kids are deprived of visits and phone calls to family. They're deprived of any materials in their cell other than the Bible, and they receive meals, education, and exercise on a solitary basis. So while they might have some perfunctory contact with staff, they're basically deprived of meaningful human contact for all waking hours, and research shows that that's really harmful for kids.
So your report does talk about NORCOR holding kids in solitary confinement, even children who are suicidal.
Mm-hmm.
And the United Nations calls solitary confinement tantamount to torture. Why is an Oregon facility using this cruel and inhumane punishment on children?
So one of the important concerns that's highlighted in our report is that there's really no system of oversight for juvenile detention facilities. So we don't have any state agency that's charged with enforcing, you know, kind of basic humane and safe conditions in juvenile detention facilities.
And your report also says that Oregon's juvenile detention facilities are unlicensed and unregulated. They lack oversight and accountability, and this is why, as you said, NORCOR is allowed to neglect and impose these harsh rules on these children. Who should be looking out for these kids? And does the Oregon Youth Authority provide any oversight?
The Oregon Youth Authority provides some limited oversight related to their youth care center, which is housed at NORCOR. And they're generally, from what OIA tells us, they're generally about two or three kids who are enrolled in that program who are at NORCOR. So OIA will visit once a year, or maybe more often than that, to make sure that compliance with those youth care center rules is happening. The rules are very sparse, and that OIA oversight is limited to that particular program and those kids. So it's not sufficient to ensure safe and humane treatment.
So in the last legislative session, a law was passed preventing the Oregon Youth Authority from placing a youth alone in a locked room as a sanction for a rule violation. Does this law apply to NORCOR?
That was legislation introduced by OIA, and it's just not written to extend to the juvenile detention facilities. Juvenile detention facilities are run by counties, so it's a different system, much like how, you know, there are lots of laws that apply to the Department of Corrections, but that don't apply to county or municipal jails.
Sarah, your report, Don't Look Around, says that Oregon's child incarceration rate is one of the worst in the country, and that Oregon's youth mental health system ranks 41st in the nation. What is the problem with Oregon?
You know, what I find when I go into jails for adults is that when you talk to people in jail, you see the failures of our social safety net. So, you know, usually multiple systems have failed a person before they end up in jail. And that's especially true for kids. So I think, you know, our child incarceration rate points to the failures in our community behavioral health system and to challenges in our child welfare system.
So these kids are already vulnerable when they enter NORCOR only to be warehoused and re-traumatized. So how does that impact the social development and mental health of these children?
So there's a lot of research that shows that sensory deprivation and lack of human contact is particularly harmful for children, that it can cause lasting psychological damage. I think it's really important to note that these are kids, universally, these are kids who have experienced trauma in their pasts. And we also have a lot of evidence about what works for kids in terms of positive interventions. So the report quotes Dr. Ajit Jetmalani, who's the director of adolescent and child psychiatry at OHSU. And what he talks about is you know, what works in terms of promoting the skills and the intrinsic desire to engage positively with the world is trusted relationships with adults who are invested in these kids' success. There was one girl that stands out in my mind. She was 13 years old, and I interviewed her pretty shortly after her arrival at NORCOR, and she didn't have anyone on her approved call list, so she couldn't make a phone call. And she said, "I really wish I could call my DHS caseworker. She drove me here, and she's really nice." And I said, "Well, what's her name? I'll see if I can try to facilitate a call." And she said, "You know, the sad thing is that I don't even remember her name. She's the only adult in my life that I trust, and I don't even know her name." And I think what that illustrated is just that, you know, all kids are looking for an adult who can be, you know, a trusted resource for them and who will be invested in their success. And I think, you know, here's a 13-year-old girl who just didn't have that in her life and was really reaching out to anyone who could fulfill that role potentially.
Sarah Radcliffe, what are Disability Rights Oregon recommendations?
So one of our core recommendations is, it reiterates a recommendation released by the Juvenile Courts Mental Health Task Force in 2016, and that's to create a children's cabinet for Oregon that would be a partnership of the judicial, executive, and legislative branches and would really coordinate all child-serving systems. So, you know, the two main systems are juvenile justice and child welfare, and these two systems are not well integrated. So you've got a lot of kids who are involved in both systems and aren't getting served well by either system.
And how can people access your report, Don't Look Around, A Window into Inhumane Conditions for Youth at NORCOR?
Sure, it's available on our website. So that's DROregon, spelled out, .org. And we've also got a link to our recommendations on the website. And we're encouraging people to call your state legislators and tell them that you support the creation of a children's cabinet who would really, you know, spearhead reforming Oregon's juvenile justice system and reducing our child incarceration rate. We're also doing a book drive for kids at NORCOR. So if you've got no hardback books, but any paperback books that would be appropriate for an adolescent readers, then you can drop those off at Disability Rights Oregon. Our address is on our website.
I've been speaking with Sarah Radcliffe, attorney for Disability Rights Oregon. For KBOO News, I'm Karen James.